Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Tuesday. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line's open, 404-741-0929. We'll get back into some of the Hawks news from yesterday. Breaking news from the NBA as well. The Raptors general manager, how do you say his name? Masai Ujiri.
Yes.
He was offered a whole bunch of money and an ownership stake with the Washington Wizards to go take over their franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Turned it down, staying in Toronto.
Yeah, I wonder how much Toronto gave him to stay.
No doubt.
I mean, that's a lot to give up.
No kidding.
And then you get away from them Canadian taxes, too.
Plus, I mean, come on. You're a hero.
Yeah.
You brought a championship to that city.
I believe once you're a hero, you can get the hell on and won't nobody be mad at you.
Oh, yeah, you could and no one be mad. Or you could stay forever and have so much leeway and be able to, I mean, you know, you're not going to win a championship every single year, but you're going to be able to get away with that because you already got them one. Also, be paying very close attention this hour. We've got another pair of tickets to the Big 3 basketball tournament coming up on July 7th at State Farm Arena. We've been giving away tickets every single day. You can win a pair of tickets this hour simply by listening and calling in when the time is right. So be listening for that. Without further ado, let's get to some important audio.
It was all very unnecessary, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy's a decent hitter. He doesn't need to complain about every call. I mean, we won't get into that aspect of that game we just finished, but he got plenty of calls for his guys, too. So, you know, sometimes you need to pick your battles, and that's hopefully something you'll learn as he gets a little bit older.
Yeah, that's Tyler Flowers talking about
Flo.
Talking about Contreras yesterday. Obviously, there was a little bit of a dust-up. Saw some tummy bumping going on between the Cubs and the Braves. After Contreras complained about pitch framing that Flowers was doing, getting calls. And then Contreras goes deep and thumping his chest, yelling at everybody. Whatever, that's his right. He hit a home run. And then Flowers got mad at him, and he got mad at Flowers and all that. The funny thing about it, though, is Flowers makes a great point. Contreras is the catcher.
Don't you do the same thing.
For the Cubs. So if you're mad that Flowers is framing pitches and getting strikes, aren't you hurting your pitcher in the process by doing that?
Somebody said that on the broadcast. Somebody did say that on the broadcast. I think it might have been Chip. But it's the funny thing about it is that, like, Tyler was so cool. You know, like, Contreras, we were talking about him. He was running away, talking mess. Tyler didn't make any aggressive move towards him.
Nope.
Or anything. Julio made the aggressive move.
Yeah.
Yeah, Julio was going to get some. I think Julio was going to get some.
Julio was mad he gave up a home run.
Yeah, but and that affected him the rest of the game.
Yes,
he was not the same since that home run. And I think that, I can't even put myself out there like that, saying that if that didn't happen, Julio would have settled down and pitched well.
I'm
not going to put myself out there and think that, but
maybe if it was Soroka.
Yeah, possibly. But
maybe
if
it was Freed.
Yeah, he just. Yeah.
Certainly not if it was Folty.
He wouldn't. Folty, Gosman, Julio, you know, they just weren't. He just wasn't the same, man.
Maybe that's what Brian and Wendy meant when they put fragile on the show sheet earlier. I was thinking fragile just in terms of the pitching rotation right now and not really knowing what's going to happen on Thursday. We don't even know who the starter's going to be. Maybe they meant fragile in terms of some of these guys' mental makeup.
I think it is.
Folty's fragile. That's why he's in AAA now.
Yeah, then you got Julio Teheran. But you would think as long as Julio Teheran has been with the Braves, I mean, he's been in a rotation somewhere. Like, you ain't over that yet? That's what I'm saying. I think he was a little amped up. Because usually, you know, when you about to get it on, blood pressure high. You know, it's hard to refocus and everything, and he just couldn't get his focus back.
Now, I mean, he got out of that inning, and then he came back and had a decent inning in the third, and then had an okay inning in the fourth. But then it was the fifth inning when everything totally derailed for Julio Teheran. Couldn't even get out in the fifth inning. Gave up five runs. It was very bad. Four innings pitched, seven earned runs, three walks as well. That's back-to-back bad starts for Julio Teheran, and sort of a compounding frustration regarding the Braves starting pitching situation right now. I mean, they're still in great shape with all the games they've won and the lead in the East and all that stuff. But I think it's okay to look at the starting rotation and be like, this could be an issue down the stretch. Good. Hopefully Fried pitches well today, and even more importantly than that, hopefully Keuchel pitches well tomorrow.
I want to come in here tomorrow and just be like, damn. Because that's going to – if it doesn't go right today, and I anticipate that it will go right tonight for them, what's the pressure like going to be on Keuchel? If it doesn't go well.
Pretty high.
You know what I'm saying? If it doesn't go well tonight, which I don't think it will, which I think it will for the Braves, if he's up and they then got shellacked, both the pitchers have gotten shellacked the last two starts, what's it like on him? Because I still don't think he's in MLB game shape yet. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's at that point yet. So, I mean, if he has another outing like he had in Washington, I'd be all right. As long as it's – you want to show improvement. You don't want to show regression, because I don't think anybody's automatically jumped on to the Dallas Keuchel's going to save us bandwagon yet, because it's not there. It's not going to happen.
Hey, when Folty makes his first start at AAA, is that the most important start of his life?
I guess.
Are we done with that now because he got sent down?
No, we can't be done with it, because I'm telling you, they're going to need him. They're going to need him down the stretch, man, because I don't trust these. I don't trust the pitchers, because we only know who's starting Thursday.
So need him in what role?
As a starter. You're going to need him. Who else is it?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, at least he's proven.
Soroka, Fried, Keuchel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Tehran's going to be there.
Tehran's
like a cockroach, baby. He ain't going nowhere.
The good news about terrible Tehran starts is that means there's good ones coming.
Yeah, okay. How many bad ones can we have?
Well, he had eight really good ones.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to have eight really bad ones?
Would that surprise you?
You know Julio Tehran. Julio Tehran ain't going nowhere.
No, he's not.
No. So let me I had those question marks. Let me put Julio in that box with it. Julio.
Put him in the box.
Put him in the box.
All right. This hour brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org.
I get compared to all kinds of guys, Paul George, Tracy McGrady, Kevin Durant. And I feel like I can take aspects of their game and add it into mine and just become the best Cam I can be, like you said. But, you know, it's an honor to be compared to guys like that. I look forward to, you know, kind of hopefully being in that position one day.
Ooh. That's Cam Reddish yesterday at his introductory press conference. Also sat down with us. If you missed that interview, you can check it out on 929thegame.com on the Andy and Randy page. I liked all of those comparisons.
Hell yeah.
Give me every single one of those.
Yeah.
Whichever one you want. I'll take Paul George.
I'll take Paul George. But, I mean, T-Mac can ball, man.
T-Mac was amazing.
T-Mac was awesome.
T-Mac would you in like Orlando.
Orlando T-Mac or Houston T-Mac?
Orlando T-Mac. All day long. Dude, he was so ridiculous in Orlando.
He was ridiculous in Houston, too.
He was, but then he started getting hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
He was so unbelievable in Orlando, what he used to do to guys, because he had great range. He could shoot. He had the good fadeaway.
He would yam on you,
but
though.
He would dunk on guys with no regard for human life. Like, you go look at a Tracy McGrady mix from when he was in Orlando. I mean, when he was in Toronto. And him and Vince were up there together. He was like 14 years old when he played for the Raptors.
He was supposed to. But you remember that Orlando thing? It's supposed to be him and Grant. And Grant kept getting hurt. But yeah.
No, in
Orlando, it's supposed to be him and Grant Hill together.
But yeah. And it was like him and Mike Miller for a minute.
Mike Miller and, you know, but yeah, T-Mac was bad boy.
He was.
Bad boy.
He was. He never won a playoff series until much, much later when he was in San Antonio. I remember they were up 3-1 and he started talking about the next round.
Yeah.
And they
kind of lost.
Kind of lost the series. And now T-Mac was awesome. He's pretty good on TV, too, now.
Yeah.
I like him on TV. He keeps it light. He's not one of those guys that is too much of a blowhard. He's fun to watch on ESPN.
Just real quick, you know, I understand that I got some feedback that, you know, that I wanted you guys to know that in my meeting with Tim, I apologize for my reaction. I regret it. I regret the distraction it's caused to the team. And, you know, like I said earlier, it's something that we'll learn from. So, you know, it's something I'm not proud of. I'm not proud of the distraction. I'm not proud of what I did to Tim. For that, I'm definitely sorry.
What a joke.
I love it.
What a total joke the whole situation is. That's Mickey Callaway, the manager of the Mets. I love it from a Braves perspective, because they're up there worried about all kinds of everything that has nothing to do with baseball. So they're not catching the Braves. That's great. Phillies have their own problems. The Nationals have their own problems. Everything is good in the National League East right now. Only the Mets could turn something like that into that big of a disaster.
There's something about having to apologize to anybody.
Yes.
But there is a different story when you expect people to apologize to the media. It's so hard to apologize to them, because they don't have to apologize to you. They write some crap. Did they write something bad about you? Did they ever come and apologize to you? No, they just it's their job.
Well, if it was true.
But I'm just saying, it's my job to write this story. But so that's why they get so extra salty when they feel like you're not allowing them to do their job.
Yeah, and I have no problem with managers getting salty with media.
It's hard to apologize to y'all dudes, man.
No, it is. I understand that. It you is. Know, you guys have to humble yourselves for the first time in your life.
And ain't nobody, then to difficult. You, to you guys, of all people.
We're people too, Randy.
Yeah.
Well, but that's too. What it was. People with jobs.
That's all that was.
I know our jobs aren't as important as you guys are.
So. I mean, my guys, I mean, I'm just a radio dude. I mean, but, you know, y'all media dudes who ask the questions. Yeah. Like, that's like the worst. Like,
yes.
There's nothing worse. And anybody who's been, you know, who's been around the media and everything, there's nothing worse than having to apologize to one of them.
And I understand nothing. When it's a situation where the media person provoked it.
Yeah.
All this dude said was "see you tomorrow."
See, here's the thing.
He said it to him every day.
Here's the thing with you, all right? Because that's your guy that did that. Okay,
Tim Healy.
Tim Healy's your boy.
He's a friend of mine.
Yeah, he's your boy. All right. Okay. Now, what was the tone when he said it?
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, you got to take all that into context because you look at the manager.
He says it to him every day.
They're just. But what was the context this time?
Okay.
All right. Because
see you tomorrow.
You know what I'm saying? Because like I mean, they're coming off of a loss. It's rough things that. It's rough up there in New York for the Mets. And the coach was just hot by something. And you know this.
And that's fine. I understand that.
And you know, okay, as long as you understand it. You know sometimes when you're mad, the littlest things can just tick you off.
Absolutely.
And so that's what that was.
I understand
right
all of that.
Yeah.
And you get walking, mad at them.
You're walking too hard.
All that.
Something
right.
like that. You know,
we've all been anything. There. We're all men. We're idiots. Especially when you're angry, when something goes wrong, anything can set you off.
Yeah.
You get set off by the dumbest thing in the... It's how could it be raining outside?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
of course it's raining.
Yeah, why is that leaf falling off the tree? You know,
exactly.
Like, yes,
and
yes.
We take it personally, we want to fight the tree.
Yes.
I get that.
Yes.
But I think it's also... Now, I think it's dumb that he was mandated to have to stand up in front of all the media and apologize.
Yes.
I think it would have been okay if he would have gone over to Tim and just said, hey, my bad.
Oh, and whatever. See, even that would have been hard. Because
that would have been fine.
You know what Tim would have did?
No, he wouldn't have.
Hey, guys. Coach apologized.
No, he wouldn't have.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe he would have. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know him that well.
Yeah.
I was with the school with him.
Yeah, but that's all I'm saying.
Had
like,
some beers
you know,
with him.
Sometimes you can have a rough day and the littlest thing, especially when you're talking about they were questioning the fact about the closer and all that. Yeah, they ran him hot, man.
Yeah.
They ran him hot. So the littlest thing like see tomorrow, Skipper, because he probably took it as this little sarcastic little SOB and then went in. I'm just telling you, that's what happened. And then you don't want to apologize.
What do we do every single day on this show? Question the closer.
I mean, but
question Snit for putting the closer in the same situation.
True that.
Yeah. It's our job to do that.
But my thing is, has Snit actually come out and told us why he's playing Luke Jackson?
Because he's the closer.
Well, but here's the thing. When you're talking about that situation up there, he's already told y'all.
He just does what he does.
He's told y'all media folks.
He
and he said,
he
my closer will only go for 4 outs. That's what he said.
Yes.
And he kept telling you this. So why do you got to ask about the 5th out? You know what I'm saying? Like, that annoys you.
That is annoying.
That's annoying.
There's no doubt about
it. I sat here and told y'all over and over and over again, this is what I want to do with my closer. 4 outs. I don't give a damn if it's 5. I said 4.
But, Coach, what if it's 5 outs?
Exactly. Again, y'all media folks,
Coach,
man. Y'all
Coach,
can't let it go.
Coach, Tim Healy, New York Post. What if it's 6 outs?
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've just repeated over and over and over again. 4-4-4.
Okay. See you tomorrow, Coach.
And then and that set him off. And then it's all there he is right there, matter of fact, on TV.
Now, but what Jason Vargas did was even further. Jason Vargas said he was going to knock him the blank out.
I loved it.
He didn't do anything. All he did was, and him and the coach were having a back and forth. Where's Jason Vargas coming from?
Don't be talking to my skipper like that, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Because who was the closer they're talking about?
Is it Jason Vargas?
Keep my name out your mouth.
He's not the closer. Edwin Diaz is the closer.
Edwin Diaz is the closer, but I'm sure he was talking about him like...
Jason Vargas is the chubby middle reliever.
But I'm saying, maybe he could have got the 5th. Maybe he could have got that 5th. I don't know. But all I'm saying is this whole situation. It's your tone.
They made Jason Vargas apologize, too. This is what that sounded like.
I think everybody's aware of the situation that happened yesterday. I think it's unfortunate for all parties. An unfortunate distraction. But tonight we got the Phillies to play. The team's addressed the situation. The organization's made a statement. And, you know, that's really all there is to it. So thanks for taking your time, and we'll see you guys after the game.
They don't apologize. That's
great. I mean, I wouldn't apologize either.
To. That's what I'm saying. Why don't I even apologize to you, dude? Get out your feelings and go over there and write something.
But isn't that, couldn't the same
go
thing be said
spell
to the manager?
Check. Go over there and
get
spell
out of your,
check.
Get out of your feelings. All I said was see you tomorrow.
He has a right to be in his feelings.
Because
y'all kept bothering him about the damn closer situation. I'm tired of telling you the same thing over and over again. And for one of you little dorks to sit down there with your little pen and paper trying to get something out of me when I just told you over and over again, 4 outs. Don't ask me why. Because I said so.
But what if he has to pitch 5 outs?
But that's not the plan, right? The plan is what I laid out.
I know.
4 outs.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
You'd ran me hot over here.
New York's a tough media market, man.
It ain't tough.
Tim Healy is a good man.
I'm sure he is.
He's a good man.
I'm sure he is.
A good reporter.
I'm sure he is.
You know, we've had some people in the news lately for getting in trouble with people. Tim Healy, with this one, he went to Boston University College of Communication. The dude that called Tom Brady's daughter a pissant.
Dude.
That dude went to the College of Communication at Boston. We're just
What'd they teach all up there?
I don't know. Making news for the wrong reasons. You don't see that's the thing. You don't want to be the story as a reporter.
Well, I mean,
you never want to be the story.
But you know, that dude that called Tom Brady that name, though.
Well, he's silly.
We would have had a real.
Yeah, that's not good.
We had a lot of problems.
I don't think he works at that radio station anymore. It's not a good look.
Yeah, one of them young mushmouths trying to make a name for himself.
All right, we've got one more piece of vitally important audio.
This award is about team and organization, and I'll say it starts at the top with our ownership. Wes Edens, Mark Lazary, Jamie Dimon, Mike Fazzitelli, along with all the local owners, what you guys have done for Milwaukee, what you've done for me. You can't get it done in the NBA without great ownership, and we have that in Milwaukee, so thank you.
Shot.
Wrap it up, fire. Bud. Bud's speech was about
shots.
7 fire. Minutes too long.
Who do you think he was taking that shot at?
Oh, there were clear shots in his speech, if you heard his speech.
Oh, yeah.
He thanked everyone he's ever worked with.
Except for
anyone associated with the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, everyone he has ever worked with, except for anything that happened here.
Shots.
He did win another Coach of the Year award yesterday, though. Gave a long speech. Bud, not the most talkative guy. Long. On and on and on and on. But it was nice. He won. All international awards yesterday. MVP, international, rookie of the year, international.
They're taking over.
Defensive player of the year, international.
They're
NBA
taking over.
Champion, international. It's an international league in the NBA. We'll come back and
You're
get
telling
back.
Yourself that.
Well, I mean, in some ways it is.
No.
It's not?
No.
All the awards yesterday? Then
congratulations on your 1 year.
Okay, yeah. Got it. We'll come back and get into what the Hawks did yesterday, not just the introduction of Cam Reddish, but the trade of Kent Bazemore and what that actually means for the 2019 Atlanta Hawks. Coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I am Angel McMichael.
I am Barbara Lundstrom.
It is my pleasure to introduce your new 92.9 The Game midday show host.
Middays with Andy and Randy, starring Randy Montez.
Uh-huh.
McMichael as Randy, and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
Andy Bunker, and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
I am so proud to be your mom, Andy. I love listening to you and Randy every day.
I am a proud mama. Watch out now.
Had to get the Kawhi laugh in there. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, congratulations to Chasen in Kennesaw. Won a pair of tickets to the Big 3 basketball tournament on July 7th at State Farm Arena. You know, it's Ice Cube's Big 3 basketball tournament. I know.
Really?
We all know that Ice Cube's in charge of the Big 3. I don't remember the promos running last year where they highlighted Ice Cube so much. That is a smart move.
Yeah, he's
Who doesn't like Ice Cube? You all right over there, man?
You're about to throw this computer out this window over here.
What do you hate more? Like snarky media guy or that computer?
Snarky media guy.
Starring Randy Montez.
But there's something about, I don't know, either Hugh or Mike Bell watching something over here that ain't got no business
who
and keep on putting viruses on this thing.
Who would you think would be most likely if you had to isolate one of those two to do something like that at work?
Mike Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
looking at some nasty stuff.
Hey, Atlanta United supporters, two things. First of all, Mike Conte is going to join us in 20 minutes to talk about the game tomorrow night. And you can watch that game starting at 7 o'clock at Hobnob Neighborhood Tavern in Brookhaven for the Atlanta United versus Chicago Fire Watch Party. Great food and drinks, plus Atlanta United prize giveaways. I can say from personal experience, if you like bourbon, Hobnob is a good place to go.
You've been to
lots of different
a lot of these reads that we have here for anything watch parties. You've been to a lot of them.
Well, it's funny. I've been to a lot of the ones where the Atlanta United stuff happens.
Okay.
And I think that it's smart marketing from our team to have the Atlanta United events at places like that, because it's like, you know, I'm a millennial.
Yes, you are.
They're trying to target towards millennial people. You have it at places like that that millennials might go to. I don't know. I do find it interesting, though, that most of the ones that are the Atlanta United places, like, oh, yeah, I've been there. I've been to that place. Now, I would recommend go to Hobnob. Go watch that game tomorrow night, Atlanta United versus Toronto. We're going to talk to Mike Conte. Oh, wait a minute. Do I have this wrong?
No.
Oh, no. This one is for the Chicago game. Sorry. That's next week. That's next week against Chicago. Tomorrow's game, I don't know if there's a watch party or not.
Yes, there is one.
Oh, there is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. There's a watch party tomorrow, too?
Yes.
Is it at Hobnob? I'm not sure if it is.
Starring
or not.
Randy Montez.
No.
Yeah, I don't think there's a
Toronto. I thought it was a watch party tomorrow.
Now, you could still go to Hobnob, and that would be fine.
Yeah, I thought it was a watch party for the Toronto game.
That's a Chicago Fire on it. It could be wrong and just be the wrong game, because they do play Chicago Fire next Wednesday.
Won't be the first time.
Yeah, and, you know, I just read them and try to make sense of it. Anyway, Mike Conte's going to come in and help us out, which we obviously need him to do, coming up in about 15 minutes. Before we get there, though, a lot of interesting stuff going on around the NBA. It was fun to hear Coach Bud give his speech last night. It'd be a little bit petty in his remarks. It was very fun to hear what Giannis said when he won the MVP award last night. I'm always a sucker for athletes maybe becoming sort of overcome with emotion in moments like that, being very thankful, grateful, talking about everybody that helped them get there.
Right.
It happens a lot with the NBA MVP award.
They really emotional.
You hear guys, like Kevin Durant a few years ago was like that, and Giannis certainly was like that yesterday. So that was very cool. And then there was this news that came out yesterday afternoon, obviously not something that was really talked about at the NBA awards ceremony, but nonetheless, the Hawks made a trade yesterday. I know we spent a lot of time talking to Cam Reddish and Lloyd Pierce, which we let you hear earlier today, and Travis Schlenk as well, but this was one that kind of came as a surprise to me. I know that they had been trying to move Kent Bazemore for a while now. There were rumors that they tried to trade him on draft night 2 years ago. There were rumors that they tried to trade him on draft night last week. And then they actually finally found a chance to trade him, and they traded him to Portland for Evan Turner. And so Kent Bazemore, the last remaining member of the 60-win Atlanta Hawks.
And our poster outside.
Is now going, well, the poster got X'd out.
Yeah. Also, did they take it down?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they took it down or not, but they finally X'd out the one final member of the team.
Uh-huh.
That was the remaining member of the 60-win Hawks, who'd Kent Bazemore, and he's gone. And Evan Turner coming in. It's an interesting deal because it's one of those rare deals in the NBA where it's just basically player for player,
mm-hmm.
money for money. They're making almost the exact same. I think the Hawks saved $600,000 or something like that this coming season. I saw a lot of people saying that they didn't understand why the Hawks did it. It makes perfect sense to me. I mean, none of these guys are going to be here long term, any of the guys that are making big money.
Correct.
And you needed a backup point guard, which Evan Turner can be.
Are we sure he's a backup point guard? Or is he a guy that can handle the ball?
Who else could be the backup point guard? Jalen Adams?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Because here's the thing. Like, you don't have any money to go out and sign somebody. Because I remember we were talking, there's been conversations about Patrick Beverley is mm-hmm. going to be available. You bring him in. You know, go out and maybe get some other veteran point guard that might be available to back up Trae Young. You don't have any money.
I think that's the key. Like, do you have enough money to even get Patrick Beverley?
No.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, and no one else. I mean, you wouldn't be able to pay anybody else. Now, the other thing, too, is when you look at the way that the Hawks are constructed right now with all the draft picks – and some of the contracts that they've brought back, there's not very many roster spots left over for anybody.
Right.
Including
Vince Carter.
Maybe Vince Carter.
Right.
And
DeAndre Bembry, we've already noted, he's his guy. I think it was Coach Pierce came out and said, that's my guy. So, because everybody was like, well, what about DeAndre Bembry? I think they like Bembry, his defensive, you know, his intensity and all that. Just don't let him dribble in open court.
Yeah, that's fine. Doesn't need to dribble. Doesn't need to be making, like driving to the lane, trying to make plays. He can shoot. He can shoot okay when he's open. He can get out in the open court a little bit, and he can play defense. But yeah, he's not going anywhere. Why were you worried that he was going to go someplace because he was a pre-Travis Schlenk Atlanta Hawk?
It's always
and
that
everyone else is gone except for him.
Exactly. So you're always like that. Well, especially when you're the last one. I'm sure he's thinking like, "Damn, am I next? All of us gone. Everybody's a potty here." Because I know that I thought Torian Prince was going to be. I didn't know what Torian Prince was going to be. And, you know, Travis came in. And Travis, like most, like you should as a general manager when you first get a job, you always praise the players that are on here. You always figure out, try to see, well, is he a guy that I can keep around? And obviously, Torian, the injuries and the personal stuff, he just couldn't get right. So.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's become pretty clear what he's doing. I think he made it pretty clear from the moment that he got here. We talked to him about it yesterday. I mean, it's a rebuild. There's really no reason to have anybody that's on a big contract that's signed up for longer than 1 year. That's why they've gone about getting these guys this offseason that are all on expiring deals. It's all about going young and getting these guys on the court as much as they possibly can. And Kent Bazemore plays the same position, essentially, as two guys that he drafted last week and as DeAndre Bembry and as Kevin Huerter, however you want to have him slotted. Because last year, Bazemore was either playing the two or the three.
Right.
And occasionally the backup point guard role, which was never a good situation because he's less of a playmaker than DeAndre Bembry is.
Did Portland give Evan Turner and Crab that raggedy contract?
The same summer.
They gave him the same summer. Okay.
The same summer.
Okay, thank you. I was trying to think. I was like, didn't he go to Portland and got that contract? And then Evan got they had the same exact contract, I think.
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah, I think they had the same contract.
Okay. I don't know if it was the exact same.
I think they got
it was
the same
really,
exact
really close to the exact same.
Okay.
That was the same summer, yeah. Neil Olshea, the general manager of the Portland Trailblazers, that summer gave that deal to those two guys for $70 million.
Yeah, that's
so
what
each.
It was.
He gave Myers Leonard a $45 million contract that summer, too. They spent about $190 million between Allen Crabbe, Evan Turner, and Myers Leonard.
That's what it was. Okay.
If the Hawks somehow acquire Myers Leonard, then they're bailing that entire summer out.
Why not?
They're paying the expiring contracts on that whole summer, which obviously they're not going
to
do.
Now, as they're trying to build this roster, Andy, and we know why they're taking on the expiring contracts and all that to get them off your books the next year and have all this money in summertime. If that happens, do you think there'll be players in the summertime?
Yeah, that's why you do it.
But I'm saying, do you think the Hawks will be players in the summertime?
I think they'll try to be.
Right.
I mean, as far as their success rate, I don't know.
No, we said this on Saturday. I mean, you can have all the cap space in the world if nobody don't want it.
Right, and they're going to have $65 million of cap space coming off the books at the end of this season. That's what Evan Turner is. That's what Solomon Hill is. That's what Miles Plumlee is. And that's what Allen Crabbe is. That's
right.
That's what those contracts are for.
Right.
So you can hit the salary cap floor this season, and then you could get them off the books and go back into the marketplace next summer and try to get guys. But that's why there's so much importance on this year. And that's why 2019-2020 for the Atlanta Hawks is so vital.
What's so vital about it?
You have to make it an appealing destination.
Because
it's not yet.
So, say, for instance, they play the same exciting brand of basketball they played last year but win 32 games.
Right. That's the question. What has to happen in this season to make it into a destination?
Are we thinking, like, playoffs? You have to be in the playoffs to make it an attractive destination? Or are you that guy, like I repeated myself on Monday, are you that guy that's like, Atlanta, did you miss the playoff by a game? I add myself to that. We can do some things.
I mean, I think that it's more about what it looks like than it is about what the win-loss record is.
Okay.
I mean, you can't win 29 games again.
I know that.
But you have to look more like you looked after the All-Star break than you did before the All-Star break, which, again, is you're gonna win more games if you do that. But that's the whole situation now. Like, you've done all of the the hard part is getting people to come.
Correct.
But you've done all of the initial work of
to get those people to try and
being bad for a little while and then getting guys through the draft. And I think we feel pretty good about the guys that they've gotten through the draft the last 3 years. You got a solid young core. That's why we were having the argument yesterday about who has the best young core in Atlanta sports, whether it's Atlanta, the Hawks, or the Braves, or the Falcons defense, or whatever. In order for that conversation to even be valid, the Hawks have to have done what they've already done.
Right. They got
to
win.
So they've done that.
Okay.
So now you have those guys.
They've done it as far as what you're talking about. They're preparing themselves for it. They're preparing themselves for next summer. But at the same time, are they preparing themselves for the season? Because I still think that they got to find a way to get to the – at least on the cusp. Like, say, for instance, you lose it on the last day. You know, you lose that game or they win again. You know, something like that. Maybe that's enough. You know, they're not necessarily having to be in the playoffs.
But I think more important than that would be John Collins being an all-star, Trae Young being an all-star, Cam Reddish potentially, or DeAndre Hunter being rookie of the year, something like that. Like, showing obvious progress with those guys, making the playoffs would be great. But I think it's more about guys wanting to play with those individuals. And I think that's what 2019-2020 is all about. Good luck to Kent Bazemore in Portland.
Good luck to you, Baze.
He can help them. I think Evan Turner helps the Hawks in 2019-2020 as well, but I don't think he'll be here long term. All right, we'll come back. Mike Conte going to join us. Talk some Atlanta United. They're back in action tomorrow against Toronto FC, by the way. You can go to Hobnob and watch it if you want. But I think the watch party is next Wednesday. We'll get that clarified for you.
I thought it was tomorrow.
And talk to Mike Conte next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Mike Conte in studio with us as well. We'll get into what's trending coming up in 20 minutes, top of the 1 o'clock hour. Joe Patrick going to join us at 1:20, talks of Braves. I have to clarify the confusion that I created at the beginning of last segment, though. There is a watch party at Hobnob tomorrow.
Right.
Atlanta United will be playing Toronto FC.
Correct.
And you can go to Hobnob and watch it. That is 100% accurate.
Hold on. What does it say on that paper?
Well, it says the Chicago Fire. And I don't know if they're having a Chicago Fire watch party.
Hold on. Did you write that?
No.
All right, then. It ain't your fault.
But I read it on the paper. But I read it on the radio.
It's all
I've
good.
I've got to be accountable for my. Thank you, Randy.
I got you back.
Thank you, Randy.
All right. I'm going to go have a stern conversation with the person who did that.
Yeah, what?
Stern.
I would like to observe that.
Very stern.
My opinion is
what
that
is it?
Andy, who knows a lot about soccer and follows Atlanta United very closely, should know off the top of his head that they're not playing Chicago Fire tomorrow, that they're playing Toronto.
Well, my worry was, and I should have known this as well as one who's read many of these live reads, we don't normally do them weeks in advance.
Yes.
My worry was that it was in for next week's watch party because they play Chicago next Wednesday, as you know.
Yes, that's correct. I can also tell you that there have been numerous instances where we've been handed copy that looks a little fishy, and when we point it out, we're always told, just read it as it's written. So you're usually following instructions when you just read it as
who
it's
do
written.
I need to sternly talk to? That's all I need to know.
We'll tell you.
Yeah.
Mike Conte joining us in studio.
Mikey.
Before we get to some Atlanta United, I just want to ask you one Hawks-related question.
You can ask me more than one if you want.
No, just do
one. They're doing a lot these days.
They're doing a lot. They traded Bayes, but that one is, I know they've been trying to trade Bayes for a while, but they were able to do that yesterday. The thing that I wanted to ask you about was a tweet that you threw out last night about the Trae Young Rookie of the Year vote.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that someone would, okay, vote for Luka if you want to, first place, that's fine. Luka's deserving of the award as well. But to leave Trae Young off of your ballot as a top three finisher altogether, that's one that I don't understand. And that's what makes me frustrated about the entire process.
Yeah, and it used to be that the NBA would release the votes of every media voter. You would get this spreadsheet, and it would tell you, okay, Bill Simmons voted this way, and Ramona Shelburne voted this way, and the guy from the Phoenix Mercury Herald voted this way. We don't get that anymore. So there was 100 media voters on the panel to vote for Rookie of the Year and all the other major awards last night, and Trae Young got 2 first-place votes and 97 second-place votes and 0 third-place votes. So that means someone had a ballot of Luka Doncic first, DeAndre Ayton second, and Josh Okogie third.
Which is probably what it was.
Trae Young.
It was either probably Josh Okogie or the kid from the Knicks.
Well, we can probably figure this out really quick if you want to do a little bit of MacGyver work. Because there were a couple players that had only 1 third-place vote. So I'm guessing it came out of that group.
Yeah, Okogie had 1 third-place vote.
And Mitchell Robinson.
And Mitchell Robinson. That's right.
I mean, if you're voting for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander over Trae Young on your Rookie of the Year vote, I don't know what to tell you. If you're voting for Colin Sexton over Trae Young, and I don't know that's what happened.
Right.
But look, I have no objection with Doncic winning.
Neither do I.
I don't even have a huge problem with him getting 98 first-place votes because it is a full-year award.
Correct.
It's not who's playing the best at the end.
Sure.
I don't like it. I think it should have been closer. But I do think Doncic was the Rookie of the Year narrowly over Trae Young. And it's because Doncic had a better season from October to the All-Star break. After the All-Star break, it was all Trae. I give you that. But that's only one third of the season. But to leave Trae off your ballot entirely, and it was only one person who did it, I would love to know who it is.
Well, and we were talking about this earlier, Randy, about what do you do to – because my whole frustration was just the lack of accountability with voters, whether it's this or whether it's the Heisman or whatever it is. Like, if you have the – and I think it's an honor.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the honor to be thought of as someone whose opinion matters that much, to give out that type of award, then you should have the honor of being transparent.
Yeah.
And I think that would help. Because I think he'd be less likely to leave Trey out of your top three if you had to show who you voted for.
Is it okay if he just thinks Trey's not that good?
That's fine.
Yeah. That's fine.
I mean,
but then tell us who you are.
I would love to know
own that why?
An explanation.
Why?
Yeah. Own that ballot. I mean, if you like I said, if you feel Shane Gilgeous-Alexander was more worthy of Rookie of the Year than Trey Young, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. It is an outrageous opinion,
right.
But you are entitled to it. Please explain. I would love for whoever left Trey off their ballot to tweet at us or to the country at large and own it, because it just doesn't make much sense.
And you know what it is? Like the baseball voters do for the Hall of Fame, and obviously there's plenty of issues with that as well, but a lot of those guys will release their ballots and then write why.
Yes.
It'll turn into actual content for you to give to the public to consume. If you don't think Trey Young was in the top three in the Rookie of the Year voting, that's an interesting article. I would read that article.
Well,
I would disagree with it, but I would
reason,
read it.
But maybe that person has a reason. I would love to know what that reason is. Now, look, it did not change anything as far as the way the vote worked down. Trey was going to be second, whether or not he got that third-place vote. Trey would have been second if that had become a first place vote. It did not affect the outcome. It is what it is. Hopefully Trey uses it as motivation, I guess.
Mike Conti in studio with us here. Atlanta United back in MLS action tomorrow night against Toronto, by the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Against Toronto.
They will play Chicago a week from now.
They will, which will also be an MLS game.
Yes.
But it's good to be back in MLS action. The break was long. It's amazing that it's over, but here we are.
It was long, but they were able to keep the rhythm because of the two U.S. Open Cup games that they played. And that's why I think it was kind of a best-case scenario for Frank DeBoer, where his team was pretty hot going into the international break. They had won 7 out of 9. They had that really good run through the month of May where they won all those matches, including a couple on the road. The two matches they lost, they were not outplayed. And, you know, feeling really, really good about where they are, getting Barco back, getting everyone healthy. And then you get to play some U.S. Open Cup games and win both of them, one of them on the road at an MLS opponent, the other where you kind of have to dig deep and deal with some adversity and beat Charleston. And they did it. They got the job done. So it didn't kill them as far as match compression. It kept them in a rhythm. Then we find out yesterday, Barco got hurt in that Columbus game. And now he's out for 4 matches. Well, great. So here you go now into Toronto tomorrow. And we're thinking, Toronto, they're going to be really shorthanded. They have 5 guys on international duty right now. 2 of their other starters are hurt and are questionable. Atlanta United's in good shape. Now we find out Atlanta United is going to be without 3 of their regular starters, and that doesn't include Barco, who would be a regular starter if he didn't miss a month of play. Atlanta United's going to have a tricky match now on the road tomorrow in a park where they have never won, the scene of their worst defeat of the year last year where they had a chance to win the Supporters' Shield, and they did not convert on the final day.
Mike, who else is out besides Barco? I know I saw you tweeted, but
Joseph
is.
And Venezuela, by the way, good news. They made it to the knockout round of Copa America.
Venezuelan.
Which is just super.
Yeah. I'm a Joseph guy, though.
Well,
we know how bad he wants to bring that to his country.
Yes. If you're a fan of Joseph playing for Atlanta United, that is not good news.
I'm a fan of that.
Yes.
If you're a fan of Venezuela doing something historic, it's excellent news. Yeah. It'll be a good experience for Joseph, I guess. I don't know. I'd like to see him back here in Atlanta. So Joseph's going to be out now at least through this weekend.
Right.
Because Venezuela made it out of group. Franco Escobar is going to be out because he's on yellow card accumulation. Remember, he ran up to the referee in that Chicago match at home on June 1st. That was his 5th yellow, so he's suspended. Atlanta United, I would assume Michael Parkhurst will start it right back tomorrow. I don't know for sure. Barco, we talked about. Tito Villalba still out. I'm not fully clear on what the timetable is for him to come back. I know they're hoping it'll be soon. George Bello, Kevin Kras, they basically haven't played all year. They're still out as well.
Referring back to your tweet, you said hip for Bello?
It's the adductor.
Is that the same thing that's been bothering him all year?
Yes.
It is the same thing.
And he aggravated
it. Okay, thank you.
So he hurt it. He was close to coming back. He aggravated it. The team announced that he would be out 2 to 3 months at the beginning of May.
All right.
So on that timetable, the beginning of July is coming up. That would be 2 months. So you might be getting close.
Okay.
But he's going to have to play probably some USL matches before you get him in there.
An aggravated adductor.
Yeah.
That sounds rough. That's
the same injury that Nagby had last year. Remember when he got hurt in that game against Portland, and then we didn't really see Nagby again until close to playoff time. So those can be tricky. So, look, don't assume Atlanta United is going to waltz into Toronto tomorrow and kill them.
I'm assuming it, Mike.
Well, Toronto did not play well at all on Saturday, but Atlanta United is a little more shorthanded than I think people were expecting coming into the week.
It's good to have MLS playback. It's going to look like a U.S. Open Cup starting 11.
No, it won't. Nope. You still have Gressel. You still have Pitti. You still have Magny.
I mean, yeah, but you got some.
Okay. Nope.
Okay.
Brandon Vasquez for Joseph Martinez. That would be the most noticeable change.
Pretty noticeable.
Vasquez has been very, very good in Open Cup.
He has been. And now hopefully he'll be able to do that in the MLS.
Hopefully.
We'll see. Mike Conte on the call tomorrow night. You can watch the game at Hobnob in Brookhaven. We'll come back and tell you what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.